Well, this fourth Sunday of Lent is called Laetare Sunday, which means rejoice. It comes from the entrance antiphon for the Mass, Rejoice Jerusalem and all who love her. So today the church invites us to rejoice because we're drawing closer to the great celebration of the Paschal Mysteries, the celebration of Easter. And because God, as we see in our reading, our gospel reading this Sunday, God wants to open our eyes to see the truth. And this Sunday is celebrated too, the fourth Sunday of Lent, the second scrutiny in preparation for the baptism of our catechumens, our elect, who are to be admitted to the sacraments of initiation at the Easter Vigil. And if you recall last Sunday with the first scrutiny, we had the beginning of this great triptych, which is a set of three gospel readings we hear each on one of the three scrutinies these Sundays, and they're meant to be understood together. So last Sunday we had the gospel reading where our Lord shows himself as the living water, and then this Sunday, as we heard in the gospel, our Lord shows himself as the light of the world, and then next Sunday as the resurrection and the life when he goes and raises from the dead his friend Lazarus. But the question our Lord places before us this Sunday is, can I see? Can I see? And in the gospel, Jesus says, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see might see and those who do see might become blind. And at first, that can sound kind of strange, right? What does Jesus mean? How can someone who does not see begin to see while those who think they see become blind? Well, the story of the man born blind, which we heard in the gospel, gives us the information. After he's healed, everyone begins questioning him, the Pharisees interrogating him, people arguing back and forth, trying to figure out what's happened, how they might trap Jesus. But throughout the story, Jesus is pointing us to a deeper reality. He's speaking about sin. He's speaking about sin. Sin causes a kind of a spiritual blindness. At the beginning of the gospel, the disciples ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? There was a common belief at that time that physical suffering was a direct punishment for personal sin. But Jesus makes clear here, this is not the case. And yet sin does have consequences. Sin does have consequences. It clouds our vision. It prevents us from seeing reality as it truly is. Without the Lord, we find ourselves living in a kind of a spiritual darkness. Those who claim to see clearly may in fact be the ones who are most blind. But those who are willing, like the man in the gospel, to admit, I need help. I can't see on my own. Those are the ones who can truly receive sight, who can truly receive the light of Christ. Because Christ is the one who heals our spiritual vision. He restores our ability to see reality as it truly is. And the great danger of spiritual blindness, brothers and sisters, is that we fail to see things correctly, starting fundamentally with ourselves. We fail to see things correctly, especially with ourselves. So the question before us is, how do I see myself? You know, when I look in the mirror, what do I see? Right, maybe we see imperfections, more gray hairs than we'd like, more wrinkles than we used to have, a few extra pounds we'd like to shed, or maybe that's just me. We tend to focus on everything that seems wrong with us. But see, the Lord, he sees differently. As we heard in our first reading, when Samuel went to anoint the next king of Israel, David, the Lord told him, not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart, which means that when God looks at you, he doesn't begin with your failures or your weaknesses. He sees something deeper. He sees a beloved son, a beloved daughter of the Father. He sees us in the fullness of who he created us to be. And whenever we look at ourselves and fail to see that truth, this is a sign that some spiritual blindness remains. And the Lord wants to heal that blindness. He wants to restore our vision so that we might begin to see ourselves as he sees us. That we may begin to see ourselves as he sees us. You know, much of the culture today around us sends a very different message about the human person. It rejects this fundamental truth about the human person. It tells us that our identity is something we must create for ourselves. It proposes this kind of reduced vision of the human person, that who we are is defined primarily by our experiences, our preferences, right? How I choose to define myself or the groups to which I belong, these categories that divide us. And when we lose sight of God, we inevitably lose sight of ourselves. When we lose sight of God, we inevitably lose sight of ourselves. And yet, the church's vision, we see, is very different. The church, drawing from the wisdom of Christ, teaches that the human person is defined first and foremost by the love of God. The human person is defined first and foremost by the love of God. Before we define ourselves in any way, we are already loved into existence by God. Pope St. John Paul II expressed it beautifully. We are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of His Son. That our deepest identity is not found in what divides us. It's found in the truth that each one of us is created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. That each of us bears an inherent dignity as a son or daughter of the Father. Which means that, yes, we are universally brothers and sisters who have a common humanity, but we don't see a multiplicity of identities and try to divide people based on that. Rather, it's only in relationship to the Father that we can truly understand who we are and who God desires each of us to be. It's something we receive. Our relationship with the Father is what gives us our identity. It's received. And when God is rejected, when the world kind of rejects God, rejects this truth, and it's set aside, our vision becomes distorted. And we begin to lose sight of this most basic truth of all, is who we are in the heart of God. But imagine what would happen if we began to see people the way Jesus sees us. Imagine if we began to see people the way Jesus sees them. If we began to look at others with spiritual eyes. If we could look beyond appearances, beyond reputation, beyond background, or how they carry themselves, or political identification, or even what kind of mass they go to, or whatever we've heard about them, and recognize a deeper reality that this person too is a beloved son or a beloved daughter of the Father. That would transform the way we treat people every day. And this is the awakening that Christ desires to bring about within us. As we heard in our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The Lord wants to awaken us. He wants to open our eyes. He wants to heal us of whatever spiritual blindness still remains in us, that we might begin to see reality as it truly is, to see ourselves and to see others with the eyes of Christ. This Sunday, again, we celebrate the second scrutiny for our catechumens who are preparing to receive the gift of baptism. And in baptism, Christ gives us the gift of spiritual sight. And these catechumens at baptism, their eyes will be opened so that they might see with the light of Christ. But this is not only for them. All of us who are already baptized are called to renew that gift. And if we allow Christ to open our eyes, to open our hearts, our whole way of seeing changes. We begin to see ourselves as the Father sees us. We begin to see others as beloved sons or daughters of God. We begin to see ourselves not through our failures, but through the Father's love. And we will be able to say with the man in the gospel, I was blind and now I see. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.